I think this trip has been good for me in that way, too.
Chapter 16. Jenna. Jimmy sleeps soundly next to me, with his arm lying protectively over my ever-growing belly. The sun is just peeking through my window, and the only thing missing is the sound of birds chirping. It's the fairy tale part of this whirlwind adventure that I'll never see, but maybe secretly hope for. I hold up my left hand so the sun can hit my ring just right. The light dances, creating a prism of colors and shapes on my ceiling. I used to do this when I was a child, playing with my father's watch while my mother washed dishes. I'd giggle each time she'd bat away the light, acting as if it was some bug bothering her. I hope to create those memories with my child. We'd been home barely 12 hours, coming straight to my our apartment from the airport. We both fell, albeit without grace and tact, into bed once we walked in the door. Honestly, I didn't expect Jimmy to stay. I thought the excuses would start tumbling out of his mouth the minute the taxi pulled up in front of my building. But he didn't. He stayed. He asked what side of the bed was his and undressed in front of me. We pulled back the comforter together, turned off the bedside lights at the same time, and burrowed deep next to each other. He held my hands in his thumb roaming over the top of my ring until my eyes closed. I felt his lips press against my forehead just as I was drifting off. And I don't know what to think about all of this. It seems to be too much too fast. I know he's not in love with me, nor am I with him. But a small part of me wants us to be, even though I know it'll never happen. Someone like Jimmy can never love someone like me. Jimmy pulls me closer. He's waking up. Even though it's only been 2 weeks of sharing a bed in each other's bodies, I know him. I know what each look means. I know when he wants to be with me. I know when he's tired, hungry, and even when he wants to be left alone. I know most of his expressions except for one, and that one lingers in the back of my mind. Is he hiding something? I can't figure that out yet, and it kills me. Part of me wants to hate that I know all of this about him, and the other part, the part that I shouldn't listen to, wants to hold him in my arms and never let him go. That part wants to build a life, a home and family with him, and trust that everything is going to be okay. Sadly, we're back in the real world, and my heart aches knowing that my fantasy is short-lived. He has a life in California, and he'll be returning there, and as much as I hope it's to just pack his clothes and return, I feel otherwise. What if I'm not enough to keep him interested? I'm going to get fat, bitchy, and hormonal. He's Jimmy. His reputation is less than stellar. The stories from Liam and Josie are enough to write a novel. He's young and probably doesn't realize the mistake we've made by getting married, or the mistake I've made by giving him my body repeatedly. My fingers move back and forth along his arm. The action seems natural, like it's something that I should be doing, even if I'm thinking my marriage is going to fall apart at a moment's notice. Jimmy's lips press against my temple, my cheek, and then the side of my lips before he snuggles into the crook of my neck. If he acts like this, then why isn't it enough for me to accept that he's here for all the right reasons? His hand spreads out on my bump. His fingers start to tap along my skin. I'm curious as to what song he's playing, but I'm tongue-tied and not able to ask. It's stupid. I'm stupid. My feelings are stupid, and I'm starting to hate that every image I have of Jimmy is tainted, even though he hasn't given me a reason to feel this way. But my head, it's telling me to run, and run fast. I close my eyes and mentally run through everything that has to be done today. First, find my parents and share the good news with them. I can't believe I let Jimmy take me away for 2 weeks and didn't once call and check in. I know I'm an adult, but under the circumstances, I'm sure my parents are worried. They don't know Jimmy like I do, and they're here to see me, to make sure everything is okay, and I just upped and left. What kind of daughter does that make me? At some point, we need to share the news with our friends. They'll be happy, right? Of course they will. They're our friends, and Jimmy and I are having a baby. Everyone will be happy. I need to stop thinking so negatively. I'm having a baby, and I thought I was going to have to do this alone, but now that's not the case. He's here, by my side, and that's going to have to be enough for now. What's going on in that pretty little head of yours, sweet lips? Jimmy kisses my neck, moving toward my ear. He pulls me closer, as if he thinks I'm going somewhere. If he only knew that's the fear I carry with me where he's concerned. Life, I say with a shrug. Jimmy rises up on his elbow and moves my hair away from my face. He leans forward and kisses my nose. He pulls back slowly, his hand trailing down my side. Don't frown, beautiful. I love your smile, and you should be happy. Why's that, Jimmy? Jimmy moves over the top of me. He leans on his arms, keeping his weight off of me. I fight the urge to pull him down on top of me, to feel him against me.
Wifey, I never want to see you sad. It's my job to make you happy, and if I'm not doing my job, then I need to kick my own arse. Now tell me, what's with the frown?
I fight the urge to shrug and roll my eyes. He's trying, and I owe it to him to try as well. I take a deep breath and look him in the eyes. I feel like crap for being gone for 2 weeks while my parents are here. Or were. For all I know, they've left because I disappeared. I should have called and checked in or something. He moves to my side, but keeps his leg in between mine. His hand rests again on my stomach. He's doing everything I've always wanted my husband to do, everything I imagined. The caring caress, the eagerness to touch and feel his child. It's what I want, so why do I continue to have doubts?
You were on your honeymoon. I think your mom and dad will forgive you.
I shake my head. They didn't know I was getting married, Jimmy. Heck, I didn't even know. I should have called them.
So why didn't you? You had your phone and there was a phone in the room. You could have called and told them, but you didn't. Are you embarrassed about me?
His question takes me by surprise. I shake my head vigorously. Why would you ask such a question, Jimmy? This time he's the one shrugging.
If you're worried about your parents, you could have called them, but you didn't. If you're regretting getting married, just tell me. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. But you should know that I'll be here for you and the baby.
He kisses me quickly before extracting himself, leaving me with words caught in my throat. He's sweet. He's caring. He's good-looking. He's sexy. He's my husband, and I'm about to introduce him as such to my parents and best friend. My eyes are riveted on him as he walks in front of my car. The jeans he's wearing accentuate his ass, and I giggle at myself for even staring. But I can stare and touch because he's allowed me free rein over his body, as I've allowed him. I shouldn't feel nervous about what we're about to do. We're adults, and we're pregnant. We're being responsible, albeit sudden and rash. Jimmy opens the car door and holds out his hand, waiting for me to place mine in his. When I do, he tugs lightly, encouraging me to get out of the car. I take my place beside him, and we walk hand in hand to Josie and Liam's house. We don't knock. No one does. When we step in, laughter rings out from the living room. We step into the living room, our hands linked. Jimmy's finger moves over my rings, squeezing my hand at the same time. If he's nervous, he doesn't look it. He clears his throat, loudly, causing everyone to turn and look. I smile, but it feels weak.
You're back, and you're...
holding hands? Josie is the first one to speak. Her eyes scan over us, full of questions.
Jenna, what's going on?
My dad asks. I swallow hard and look at Jimmy. He's looking at me. His eyes sparkle with excitement. I look back at my parents, Josie and Liam, and take a deep breath.
We got married!
Jimmy raises our hands in the air in triumph, like we just won some award. My mom gasps and Josie's mouth drops open. I think we've given new meaning to expect the unexpected. Right now, I think everyone in the room is shocked.
You did what?
I expect this question from my dad, but not Liam. He pushes past my dad and stands before us. The sleeves of his black t-shirt are rolled over his biceps, showing his physique.
What the fuck did you say?
Jenna and I got married,
Jimmy says, confidently.
Why?
Liam looks confused, and I try not to let that hurt. Does he think I'm not good enough for Jimmy? Jimmy looks at me. I can feel his gaze penetrating me. He's waiting for me to look at him and give him the okay. I nod, barely, but enough for him to know it's time.
She's pregnant. We know she's pregnant. That doesn't mean you run off and get married.
Liam!
Josie says his name loudly. He turns and looks at her before turning back to us. I know he wants to protect his friend, but it's not like I'm after his money or anything.
You didn't let me finish, Liam. Jenna's pregnant with my baby.
Liam's face turns red as he looks from Jimmy to me. There are two gasps that I assume come from my mom and Josie, and a string of expletives from my father. For some reason, the look on Liam's face is what does me in.
Are you fucking kidding me, JD? You can't go around claiming her baby because you're bored. This is a life we're talking about, and now you're married? How long until you cheat?
I jump when Liam says cheat. Jimmy's not going to do that to me. That's what I keep telling myself.
I'm not bored, Liam. I'm taking responsibility. Jenna and I made this baby together on the night of your wedding, and I'll be there by her side when she brings our child into this world.
What's this about cheating?
My dad asks as he steps forward. I feel like I'm about 2 feet tall and invisible right now.
Oh, JD here has a hankering for women, and lots of them.
Liam, that's not fair,
Josie adds. I want to say she's right, but I know the truth. Jimmy's a dirty dog. That's what she called him the night of her bachelorette party.
I won't cheat, Mr. Hardy. Jenna means too much to me, and I won't hurt her. I'm a married man, and I'm about to become a dad. This is what I want.
Jimmy leans forward and kisses me full on my lips. He smiles when he pulls back, and I can't help but smile, too.
I can't fucking believe you, JD!
Liam doesn't wait for a response, but pushes Jimmy away from me and out of my sight. My dad follows, leaving me with Josie and my mom. Two sets of arms encase me as I fight tears that I didn't know I had coming.
Chapter 17. Jimmy. I walk down the path of the unknown. Unknown because most of our business meetings take place downstairs in the studio, but not today. Liam pushes me again, literally shoving me as if I'm walking into a torture chamber. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm being duped, and I'm not the baby daddy, and she's been tricking me. I want to punch myself in the head repeatedly for even thinking that. There's no way she's lying about us. She doesn't need to. I remember the night vividly, like it happened yesterday. It's been on my mind constantly, because for the first time in years, my body craves her. It cries out for her. She's my water after a long night on stage, and the more I drink, the more I need. I step outside into the back garden. I don't know why Liam doesn't use this space more. He should. It's great for entertaining. I can see Jenna and I in a place like this, with our little one playing in a sandbox, or something equally as cheesy. I want to give this baby everything that I didn't have when I was growing up. I know I have to start with me first. I need to get some shit straightened out in Los Angeles before I can be the best husband I can be to Jenna. It's all crap I should have done before, but I've never been one to plan my life out. Spur of the moment works best for me, and while I was thinking with my head when I asked Jenna to marry me, I also pretty much think with my dick, and that gets me into trouble. Liam steps around me and opens the door to his garage. I try not to show any fear, but I'm pretty sure it's pouring out of my pores. Jenna's dad stands behind me. He's a big guy, and could easily break my sorry self in half, but I'm hoping since his daughter is carrying my child, he'll take it easy on me. What self-respecting man wants to leave his daughter husbandless and his grandchild fatherless? I tentatively look behind me and am met with an ice-cold glare. I turn slowly back around and take a deep breath before stepping over the imaginary line that is my doom. The garage is unwelcoming and sterile. Liam is incredibly anal about his truck and motorbike, so I know this room is treated like a sanctuary. If I were a gambling man, I'd bet that you could eat off the floor if you ever felt the need to behave like a dog. I have a feeling I'll be eating in here after today. I follow Liam as he climbs up a set of wooden stairs. He flicks on a switch, lighting the rest of my path. Jenna's father, my now father-in-law, is muttering something incomprehensible behind me. I'm willing to bet my life savings that he's plotting ways to cut off my dick so I can't violate his daughter again. When I get to the top, I'm suddenly taken back to high school with Liam, even though we didn't attend the same school or even know each other. The walls are covered with posters of him and Josie and him and Caitlin's former husband. I walk around the room, looking at the memorabilia, and it's like a shrine. I'm not about to ask why it's all here, because I know this is his history, and if I had what he did, I'd fight to keep it all too.
What the fuck, Jimmy?
He doesn't tell me to sit down or offer me anything to quench my dry throat, not that I deserve it. I look at my father-in-law and briefly see hurt spread all over his face. I play Jenna's words from this morning over in my mind. We should have called her parents to tell them the good news. And, I suppose right now, good is a relative term. My answer doesn't come quickly enough. I stare between the two men, wondering if this is going to be a good cop, bad cop situation. I've been through this before with Chelsea and her family. Her father was never afraid to tell her that I'm nothing but a worthless piece of shit, and her uncle tried to help me get a respectable job. It didn't matter how much money I made with the band, it was never good enough to satisfy her father. I was never good enough.
"What do you want me to say?" I ask, and it's clearly the wrong question.
Jenna's dad, whose name I don't even know, paces. His hands are shoved deeply in his pockets, and as he walks, he mumbles to himself, shaking his head back and forth.
"How much is it gonna take?
Why would you be so stupid to claim a child that isn't yours?"
Both questions are fired at me at the same time, and it makes my head spin. I alternate looking at both men. Each one clearly has a different agenda, and I know that I have to tackle the most important one. I step forward, stopping in his path, and offer my hand.
"I'm Jimmy Davis. My friends call me J.D., but your daughter calls me Jimmy, and I know I should have asked you for her hand in marriage, but I tend to get carried away and act before I think, and apparently I talk a lot when I'm nervous. But it's nice to meet you."
Liam doesn't hide the fact that he's laughing at me. I'm sweating bullets, and my best mate is in the corner pissing himself, laughing at me like this is some type of hilarious joke. Jenna's dad is bloody huge, and I'm a nervous wreck because he could probably kill me with his bare hands. Ironically, I didn't care what Chelsea's parents thought of me, but I do care what this man thinks of me, because I'm going to know him for a long time. I drop my hand when he doesn't offer his back. I look away, not wanting to show him the hurt expression on my face. If I have to spend the next however many years buttering up this man, I'll do it, because it will make my wife happy. Her mother I can probably win over with my charm, but I doubt this burly man gives two shits about me.
"How much will it take for you to go away, to annul this sham of a marriage?"
I step back at his request, stunned. This marriage isn't a sham. We're having a baby, and I'm doing the best thing for Jenna and me. I never wanted children, at least not right now, but knowing that she's having my baby, it does things to me, and I want to be with her. She's fucking sexy as hell, and my body craves her. Not being with her isn't an option for me.
"Mr. Hardy, yes, I know that's my fault for going about this the wrong way and shit, but I'll make it up to you. Either way, I don't want your money. Jenna and I are having a baby. We're married, and I'm not going anywhere."
I stand my ground, whatever that's worth. He can take his money and buy off the police or a judge to keep Jenna safe from her ex, but I'm not going anywhere.
"Don't you think you should know the name of your wife's parents?"
I nod, because he's right. But to be honest, Jenna and I didn't talk about her parents. We talked about us and my reassurance that we did the right thing.
"With all due respect, I've known your daughter for some time now, and she's never mentioned you."
This revelation makes him take a step back this time. He cocks his head to one side and pulls out his checkbook. I shake my head. I'm going to stand my ground, that's for sure. He walks over to the table and opens it. I step forward, looking over his shoulder.
"Mr. Hardy," I say with conviction, "please be aware that I won't accept your money. I don't think your daughter or your grandchild will appreciate you trying to buy me off and out of their lives."
I turn to Liam, not for help, but for understanding. He's stone-faced and looks caught off guard. As for your question, Liam, and, as I stated earlier, I'm the father. I'm not claiming a child that isn't mine, but one that is solely mine. Jenna and I got together the night of your wedding. She wasn't going to tell me, but you did, and when I saw her that night, I put two and two together and took her to Bora Bora with the intention of marrying her. Liam shakes his head and pinches the bridge of his nose. I'm dying to know what's going through his mind, but I'm too chicken to ask. I turn away from both men, leaving them to make their own assumptions about me. Stop, Liam says, halting me in my tracks. You can't pay him off.
Excuse me, Mr. Hardy replies.
He steps forward, and if I wasn't watching him like a hawk, I wouldn't believe my eyes, but he literally puffs his chest out at Liam.
I said you can't pay him off.
And why's that? Clearly you have an issue with him marrying Jenna. This seems to be the easiest way to make it all go away.
Liam moves closer to me, and maybe we're showing some kind of solitary front, although it's more likely that he just wants to be the one to kick my ass.
I've known J.D. for a long time, and the one thing I know for certain is that when he does something, he does so wholeheartedly. The other thing I know is that your daughter is pregnant, and J.D. is the father, and if you think that I'm going to stand here and let you pay him off so that your grandchild grows up without his or her father, you've got another thing coming. If you want to write them a congratulatory check, I'm sure they'll take it. If not, put your checkbook away and pat him on the back for taking care of your daughter. I wish someone would have told me my girl was pregnant, because I missed 10 years with my son. I'm not going to let J.D. miss 1 minute.
Liam looks at me, and I nod back at him. It's a silent thank you, because right now my throat has closed up and I can't speak. I'll never forget his words, and there's a great big chance I'll never be able to tell him how grateful I am for what he said.
And if he screws up? Mr. Hardy asks.
I won't. Look, Mr. Hardy, I can't explain it, but since I've known Jenna, I always feel good when I'm around her. When I found out she was pregnant, I knew the baby was mine. I won't sugarcoat anything and tell you we conceived the bub out of love. It was a one-night stand. But I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere. Mr. Hardy steps forward, placing one hand on my shoulder and taking my hand in his free one.
She's my baby. Some day you'll understand what that means. Some day you'll do something stupid like offer money to make what you think is a problem go away. You'll also be man enough to apologize. I'm sorry, and I hope to hell you're the right man for Jenna, because the last one was not, and I'll never forgive myself for giving her to him. He hurt my baby. That is something I can promise I'll never do.
I kissed my wife long and hard before leaving her on the concourse at the airport. Leaving Jenna was hard, but her mother, Angela, said she'd take care of her. After my run-in with her father, which I'm keeping to myself, Jenna and I took her mum to dinner and explained why we did what we did. Her mum cried, but promised me she'd be okay as long as Jenna was happy. I'm trying to convince myself that Jenna is happy, but she's hard to read. I know she's spent years hiding inside herself, but she doesn't need to do that anymore, not with me. I shouldn't be leaving, but I have unfinished business to take care of in Los Angeles, that business being Chelsea. She's been sending me non-stop text messages since I got back in Beaumont, and even though I've ignored her, I can't continue to do so. She's a loose cannon at times, and the last thing I need is for Jenna to see her texts. I don't even know why I feel the need to tell Chelsea. I shouldn't, but I also shouldn't have slept with her the last time I was home. That was my mistake, and I know that she's going to want more now. I'd been able to avoid her for 3 years, but all it took was one lonely night, a weak will, and a text from her, and I was back in her bed, full of regret. I pull my hand luggage behind me, and the closer I get to my apartment block, the more anxious I become. I don't want to be here. I want to be back with Jenna, making her flat ours. I need to feel her around me, have her in my arms, where I feel content and she's safe. This trip has to be short, in and out, just enough time to tell Chelsea that I can't see her anymore, and to pack all of my crap. I never thought I'd move to Beaumont, but with my wife there, carrying our baby, it's where I need to be. It's where I want to be. I also need to call my mum and dad and tell them everything, especially my mum. I want her to meet Jenna, and maybe stay in town for a while and be there when the baby is born. I don't want her to miss out on anything because of where I live. Music wafts through the hall. 4225 West is being played, and while my neighbours know who I am, I can't say many of them are fans. By the time I'm two doors down from my own, I know the music is coming from inside. I try to think back to before I left. Did I set a timer on my stereo? No, I didn't. I stop in front of my door and don't even bother to fish out the key. I know she's in there. I can smell her perfume out here. I turn the knob hesitantly and open the door. I don't know what I expected to find, but it isn't this. Chelsea is dancing around my lounge. There are boxes piled along the wall, and her ugly artwork is hanging behind my sofa. "What the fuck is going on?" I say loudly over the music. She stops and turns. Her hands immediately go to her hair, making sure it's presentable. God forbid a single hair is out of place when someone is staring at her. Jenna was makeup-free for 2 weeks, except when we went out to dinner, and there are not enough words in my vocabulary to describe how gorgeous she looked. But the one standing before me in barely their shorts, with bleach blonde hair and a fake tan, really doesn't do it for me anymore.
"You're home."
"Yeah, that usually happens every few weeks. What are you doing here?" I ask, as I close the door behind me. Chelsea looks around the room nervously. Did she really think I wouldn't notice all her crap in my flat?
"I sort of moved in."
"So I see. Why the fucking hell would you do that?"
"Jimmy?"
"Don't Jimmy me. We aren't together, Chelsea, and I have no intention of getting back together with you." I put my hand in my pocket and feel around for my ring. I hate the fact that I took it off, but the last thing I want is for the paps to see it and start digging around, looking for Jenna. She needs to be stress-free, well, as much as she can be when she's married to me.
"Well, I thought you'd change your mind after I shared some news with you."
"I doubt it," I say, moving away from the door. I lean against the wall which separates the kitchen from the rest of my living space. My fingers play with my wedding band, wishing she'd leave so I could put it on and call my wife.
"I'm pregnant, Jimmy, and it's yours."
You know that moment when your heart and stomach fall to the floor and you feel all empty inside? Yeah, I'm having that moment.
Chapter 18. Jenna. Only after I drop my mom off at Liam's do I let a few tears fall down my face. I didn't think I'd care that Jimmy went back to L.A. without me, but I do. The nagging voice in the back of my head won't stop yelling at me that something's wrong. Why didn't he take me with him, and why didn't I insist on going? Because I'm not sure this marriage will work, that's why. Tabloid images of him with various women are at the forefront of my mind. We don't even know each other, and yet here we are, married and having a baby. There are so many reasons why I don't want his identity to be known, and this is one of them. He's famous. I'm not. No one will ever take my child seriously, and he or she will always be considered a product of a one-night stand. I never thought drastic measures would have to be taken, such as marriage. But they have, and he knows I'm powerless to say no to him. Just like that night. I wanted him, and for the first time in years I was ready and willing to give myself to another man. I knew he wouldn't hurt me, not the way Damien had. I wanted the pleasure I knew he could bring, and he fulfilled my fantasy. He did so willingly without even knowing he existed in my thoughts. That's how we should have left it. Things should not be this way. I should not be driving back to my apartment wondering what my husband is doing, wondering whether or not he's going to call me when his plane lands or when he's about to go to sleep. I shouldn't care if he's thinking about me because, honestly, he's only married to me because of the baby. He doesn't love me, and I don't want to love him. At least, that's what I'm telling myself. but those feelings don't hold true. The way he makes love to me and touches me, the way he holds me in his arms like he's afraid I'm going to disappear, I've never had that before. With Damien, everything was automatic. We met, dated, fell in love. Marriage was the next step in the equation. At night, we went to our sides of the bed, crawled in together and made love because that was what we were programmed to do. Damien only held me after he hit me, never after sex or before, and definitely not while he was sleeping. But with Jimmy, everything is different. Each caress is done with feeling. Each kiss is done with the intent to show me that he's real, that we're real. These feelings building up inside of me are about to explode, and I think he knows that. I think he's waiting. I can't give him what he wants, though. I can't go through the hurt or the pain. I've been there, and I have a feeling he has too, because a few times he's acted like our bubble is going to burst at any moment, and everything will come crashing down around us. He's holding on for dear life, and as much as I want to hold on with him, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what Los Angeles holds for him, and I shouldn't be. I need to stand tall and not worry about what he's doing there, because I know in my heart he's doing what I think he is. If I don't admit it, if I don't see it, it doesn't happen, and we can pretend that this happy union is perfect and nothing can tear us apart. I need to be the trusting wife because he hasn't given me any reason not to trust him. Yet. I pull into my designated parking spot and realize I shouldn't be here. I'm supposed to stay at Liam's, but I need some time to myself. Ironic, since I just returned from a long vacation. I sit and stare out the window of my car. When we went to Liam's today, I handed Jimmy my keys out of habit, even though we've never had that routine. With Damien, he controlled everything. No, I shouldn't say that. In the beginning, things were very equal. It was only after we were married that my life suddenly changed. I know I only have minutes before Liam comes barreling into this parking lot to save the damsel in distress. I'm not his damsel to save, though, and the one who should be saving me when I need it is hundreds of miles away without a care in the world. I look down at my phone knowing he hasn't texted, but secretly hoping that I just missed it. My head moves forward on its own volition, resting against the steering wheel. I need to stop getting worked up over something I can't control. I knew about Jimmy's reputation when I said I'd marry him, so if anything, it's my own fault. Sighing, I get out of the car and walk somewhat quickly to the entrance of my apartment. Even though Paul said Damien isn't around anymore, I can sense him close by. He may not be standing behind me, but he's watching, reminding me what he's capable of. When I open the door to my apartment building, the first thing I notice is that the hall light is out. No biggie, except there's someone sitting on the steps. This is where my fight-or-flight instinct should kick in, but it doesn't. I stop and stare at the figure on the steps, letting my fears come to life. I can't look behind me because there's no one there. My nightmare is staring right back at me. Even with the tiniest of light coming through the entrance window, I can make out his features.
Where you been, Jenna?
The way he says my name used to make me soft inside. I used to want to hear his voice, whether on the other end of the telephone or when he'd wake me softly in the mornings. I close my eyes and count to 10. What are my options? I have none, because I was too stubborn and stupid, and now here I am face to face with my ex.
I asked you a question.
He doesn't yell or even raise his voice. He sounds broken. His voice wavers, and I hate that my heart responds to him. It beats just a bit faster, wanting to soothe his pain. How can it not remember the pain he caused me? How can it not remember that it now belongs to another man? I adjust my hand discreetly so he doesn't see my rings. I don't want to set him off, even though I know it's inevitable. There's a viciousness roiling under his skin, and my neck prickles in response. It pains me that I can't touch my belly and reassure my growing baby that I'll be okay, because I won't be. I'm going to die on this floor, in this dark hallway, and no one will know who did it because, according to Paul Baker, Damien Mahoney is nowhere near Beaumont. Damien stands, walking down the three steps that separate us. I take a step back, adding more space between us.
You're trembling, sweetheart.
He reaches out, his fingers touching my arm lightly and leaving icy trails on my flesh.
Don't be afraid of me, Jenna. I've missed you.
I nod, playing his game.
I just want to talk, okay? We can even sit on these steps and talk out in the open.
Out in the open? Has he looked around? This isn't open. This is isolated and dark. My chances that Mr. K, my landlord, even knows we're standing out here are slim to none. I could yell, but his hearing aids are probably sitting on his dresser. He'll never hear me. But I concede and nod, allowing him to pull me to the steps. I try to walk tightly against the wall, but he's not having that. He wants me next to him, our bodies touching.
Remember when we met?
Even though I want to resist smiling, I can't. Jenna, do you see those guys over there? I look, coyly, not wanting to draw attention to my gawking. But yes, I see them. Anna giggles, and I can't help but smile when the one with brown hair waves.
Oh my God, Anna, he waved!
I cover my mouth and squeal as quietly as I can.
Oh, crap bags, they're coming over. Which one do you want?
The brunette, I say. Definitely the brunette. Wait, do you guys have brunette hair?
Yeah, he's hot,
Anna says, adding a bit of southern twang. The guys swim over to our dock. When they climb up the ladder, it's like watching one of those stupid gum commercials in slow motion. Only this time, it's the girl staring at the guys, not the other way around.
Mind if we join you?
The dark-haired one says. I glance at Anna, who is staring. I pinch her leg to get her attention. She nods slowly, her mouth hanging open. The boy I have eyes for squats in front of me. I can see the ripples in his abdomen. Abs. He has abs. He must be over 20 already. My parents will freak if they find out.
My name's Damien Mahoney.
Jenna Hardy, I say automatically.
Care if I sit?
I eagerly nod, earning one of the biggest smiles I've ever seen.
Do you ladies come here often?
Every summer since I was 5. I close my eyes and berate myself for being so stupid.
How old are you?
He asks. I look over at Anna. She and her newfound guy are lying on their sides talking to each other. I wish I had the courage she has when it came to guys, but they make me so nervous. 16, I say quietly. You?
18. We just graduated from high school and are spending our summer here.
Damien touches me. My skin sets alight with a sensation I've never felt before. We sit and talk, occasionally diving into the lake to cool off. He holds me in the water. My legs wrap around his hips. Everything feels natural. When the sun goes down, he kisses me lightly on the lips, and I'm in love. I can't fight the smile, and he knows it. His shoulder bumps into mine, breaking my reverie.
Anna is pregnant. She misses you.
I don't say anything. It's best to not acknowledge those from my past, especially the ones who knew about the abuse but did nothing to stop it. Her husband, Brad, Damien's best friend, turned a blind eye.
You need to come home, Jenna. You've been gone far too long, and I miss you.
We're divorced, I mutter, my voice breaking. He shakes his head and sighs.
We can fix that. You know you love me, and you know that I love you. If you come home, I promise I'll never hurt you again.
I scoff. You hurt me the other night at the coffee shop.
I was nervous.
I nod. There's always an excuse.
But I'm not nervous anymore. It's simple, really. I want my wife back, and I'll do anything to get her back. Her life is mine, and her place is beside me.
He leans over and kisses my cheek. I'm rigid, the fear setting in.
Ah, I see I have some work to do. So be it then. I'll be back to win your heart. In the meantime, remember that I own you.
Before I can respond, he's up and out the door. My breathing becomes ragged. My heart races, and I know I need to move, but my legs are cemented to the steps. My ringing phone echoes through the hall, making me jump.
Hello?
I say, after fishing it out of my bag. Sweet lips? His voice is quiet, like he's hiding. I close my eyes and chide myself for thinking the worst already. Hi, I say, attempting to clear my throat. What are you doing? Nothing. I swallow and take a deep breath. Just stopping by the apartment to get some stuff before going back to Liam's for the night? Are you missing me? I roll my eyes and realize that I do miss him, that I need him to hold me right now because I'm shaking so bad I can't move. Of course.
Liar, he says. I just wanted to call and say goodnight. I'll call you tomorrow.
All right.
Tell my baby that I love her.
What if it's a boy? I ask.
It's not. Just tell her, okay?
My heart stops for a moment. I can't comment on what he just said because he hangs up. I refuse to think he was going to tell me he loves me. He doesn't, and likely never will. So why does he have to say something like that over the phone and not me or the baby when we're together? When he says stuff like that, I want to believe his intentions are real. I'm happy that he loves the baby, but sad that he'll never love me. I know one thing's for sure. I need to keep myself from falling in love with Jimmy Davis, because he's nothing but pure heartbreak waiting to happen.
Chapter 19. Jimmy. I bang my phone against my head. I don't know what possessed me to say that to Jenna. I can't tell her that I love her. I don't even know if I do. I do know that I wish she was here, but I'm equally thankful that she's not. I don't know how she would have handled Chelsea. Christ, I don't even know how I'm going to handle Chelsea. I look out of the window over the night sky of Los Angeles. The bright lights and sound of traffic bounce between the buildings. After being in Beaumont and spending time in Bora Bora, this concrete jungle is less than appealing. Now I know why Harrison lives on the beach. I bend over the railing, watching the cars below, when the sliding glass door opens. I'm really trying not to think about Chelsea, but she's like a fucking flashing warning light in my face that won't turn off. I'm so fucked. Chelsea will expect, no, she'll demand, that we get married, and that isn't going to happen. I'm happy being married to Jenna, even if it has been for just 2 weeks.
Who are you talking to?
A sickly sweet voice makes my skin crawl. None of your business, I reply, but that doesn't stop her. Her hand finds my shoulder as she moves closer to me. If I don't touch her back, it's not cheating. That's what I tell myself. I close my eyes and say the words that need to keep me level-headed. I won't cheat on Jenna over and over again.
It's late, Jimmy. I don't want to fight, but you need to tell whoever it was that you were talking to that you're taken.
I move away from her touch. I'm not yours to have, Chelsea.
We're having a baby. I think that entitles me to some respect.
I throw my hands into my hair and pull at it. I scream loudly. Why the fucking hell is this happening to me? I did the right fucking thing when I found out about Jenna, so why the hell am I being punished? How'd you get into my flat? She turns away from me and looks out over the city.
Do you want a boy or a girl?
Hi, Mum. I'm excited to call my mum and tell her all about Jenna. I know she probably won't understand, given what she thinks about marriage, but I'm hoping that she'll support my decision.
Jimmy, to what do I owe the pleasure of hearing my only son's voice?
Ah, easy on the dramatics. I call you all the time.
I know. I just miss you. How are you?
Perfect, I say.
Perfect? How come?
I got married. The long pause at the other end of the line is more than I bargained for.
Jimmy, please tell me you didn't go to some Vegas drive-thru.
No, Mum, we got married on the beach in Bora Bora, but that's not all. The line goes quiet again, so I continue. We're going to have a baby.
Oh, Jimmy,
she says, her voice breaking. Mum, don't worry, it's a good thing.
Listen, You don't need to marry her because of the baby. You can work something out. Maybe even live together and raise the baby.
Mum, Jenna is the one woman that I can see myself falling in love with. I didn't marry her because she's having my bub. I married her because she makes me feel whole.
Are you sure about this?
I've never been surer about anything. I can't wait for you to meet my wife.
Me neither, Jimmy. Be a good husband and father. That's all I ask.
I don't want anything with you. Why can't you get that through your head? I want to add that I'm married and having a baby with a woman who has more class in her little finger than Chelsea has, but I can't. I wouldn't put it past Chelsea to go to Beaumont and find Jenna, and Jenna definitely doesn't need the likes of Chelsea hanging around. She turns, her eyes sharp and deadly. Just weeks ago, we were back together.
We shagged. There's a difference, love. No different from me shagging a bird down the street. I was stupid, but I wore a johnny, so maybe you should consider the fact that it's not mine.
You don't believe that, she says,
reaching for my hand. I recoil and move further away from her.
How'd you get in here? I repeat.
She shrugs.
My uncle?
Fucking marvellous! Breaking in when I'm not around. I'm out of here, I say, walking back into my now despised home. It pisses me off because I wanted to bring Jenna here and fuck her on every single surface. She'd be the first and last, but that can't happen now. Jenna can never come to Los Angeles.
Where are you going?
I know she's standing there with her hands on her hips. I know her that well.
Again, it's none of your business, I say, slamming the door behind me.
I head towards the stairs, not wanting to wait for the lift and give her a chance to follow me.
I'm so fucked. That's going to be my new mantra. Maybe if I keep saying it, I'll wake up from this bloody nightmare and be in Jenna's arms. That's what I should do. Get the next flight back to Beaumont. Say fuck it and leave it to my dad to sort out this mess. God only knows I've cleaned up enough of his fuckery. It's about time he's cleaned up mine.
As soon as I'm in the garage, I'm sprinting to my Wrangler. I've only driven it a few times since I bought it, and I've missed it. Jenna needs a new car. The banged-up motor she drives now won't suffice, especially when the baby comes along. I don't know how she'll feel about me buying her a car. She'll probably freak out, just like she'll do tomorrow when I call and tell her that I've added her to my bank account. I was serious when I told her father that I'm not going anywhere, even if Chelsea is now being a thorn in my side and standing in my way. I don't know where I'm going when I drive out of the garage. I shouldn't have to run away from my home, but it's easier than having to deal with her. When we were together, nothing was easy. We fought constantly about her parents and how they felt about me, and it annoyed the crap out of me that she never took my side. I don't even want to imagine what's going to come out of her dad's mouth when she tells him that she's pregnant and that I'm the father.
Am I?
I pull over and bang my head against the steering wheel. Am I even the dad? With Jenna, there's no doubt in my mind. She was trying to keep the identity a secret, but I knew instantly. I could feel it in my bones that she was carrying my baby. So why don't I feel like that with Chelsea? Nothing makes sense. We slept together once, weeks ago, and to be honest, I don't remember coming because I was thinking about Jenna the entire time and how I wanted to get back to Beaumont to see her. I have to tell Chelsea that I'm married, that I'm taken and happily so, but I'm scared shitless about what she'll do now. If she really is pregnant and I'm the father, her claws will come out, and that's not something I really want to subject Jenna to. I'm so fucked, even the sound of Chelsea's annoying laugh is constantly invading my thoughts. I look up to see who the fuck else laughs like that, only to find it is her. And my dad.
My dad?
Chelsea and my father stand on the pavement, embracing like lovers. His hand cups her arse as he pulls her closer to him. Her arms cling tightly around his neck. When he pulls away, he puts his hand on her stomach before grabbing her hand and walking into the coffee shop.
I think I just vomited in my mouth.
I'm not the father of her fucking child. My dad is. I don't know what's worse right now.
I press down on the accelerator and maneuver back into the traffic. I need to get the fuck out of here. I need to get my ass back to Beaumont, where my wife is waiting for me. Before I know it, I'm in front of Harrison's complex. I drove for over an hour, and I don't even remember how I got here. I get out, hoping that at least Evie's at home and I can use the toilet and raid her fridge. I knock tentatively and wait. It'll be just my luck that no one's here, and I'm going to have to take a leak in the bushes. The door swings open, and I'm face to face with one of the best women I know, Mrs. James, as in Harrison's mum. I look at her and shrug pitifully, and she knows instantly that something's wrong. She puts her arms around me and she pulls me inside. She rubs my back and whispers that everything will be fine. I want to laugh and tell her there isn't a hope in hell that anything is going to be fine, but instead, I keep my mouth shut and let myself be comforted by the woman who has been there for me since I joined the band.
"Where's your wife? Harrison told me you got married."
"She's in Beaumont. I came back to take care of some stuff before I head back to her."
"And I hear she's having a baby."
"Yes, she is. And she's so amazingly beautiful." Mrs. James kisses me on the cheek and holds my face in her hands as her eyes roam, studying me.
"In time, you'll tell me what's bothering you. Until then, Harrison, Caitlin, and all my grandbabies are out back."
"He's here?"
"Yes. Spring break or something for the kids. Go on, they're about to eat."
She doesn't have to tell me twice. I kiss her on the cheek and give her a tight hug. I know that I can tell her about Chelsea and she won't judge me, but there's no way I can say those words aloud without wanting to choke myself. I still don't know what the fuck to believe. I can't, for the life of me, imagine my dad betraying me like that. Chelsea, yes, but not my dad. As I look around Harrison's, I wonder if Jenna would like to live in a place like this, being able to walk out to the beach whenever you want. It'd be just like our honeymoon, only permanent, and we'd be here, away from the cold weather. I walk out onto the decking, and what I see sends a dagger right through my cold heart. Harrison is so in love with Caitlin, it makes me wonder if I can have that. I was in love with Chelsea at one time in my life, but she ruined that and continues to do so. I sought solace in women, and lots of them, until now. I have to change, stop being a womanizer, and as much as I want to drink away my sorrows and bed the first bit of totty I see, I can't. I won't. Watching Harrison and Caitlin gives me some kind of hope. He's holding her, his arms are wrapped loosely around her shoulders. She leans against him, her hands hanging onto his arms. Her smile is so huge, and her focus split between him and the kids playing in the surf. He kisses her repeatedly, and it shows me a side of Harrison I've never seen before. I clear my throat to get their attention. Harrison turns, inadvertently turning Caitlin with him.
"Fancy seeing you here," I say, waving.
"Hey, man, grab a beer and join us. Quinn is teaching the twins to body surf."
I open the fridge in Harrison's state-of-the-art kitchen and grab a beer. I really don't want to intrude on their family time and should probably leave after this.
"How's Jenna?"
Caitlin asks.
"She's good, although I'm thinking I probably should have brought her with me."
It's a lie, though. I'm glad I didn't bring her because I know for a fact that her reaction to Chelsea would be to file for a divorce. Caitlin kisses Harrison and starts to walk away. He holds on to her until they can't reach each other any more. His eyes never leave her as he watches her walk over to the kids. When she's out of earshot, I blurt out, "I'm in a shitload of fucking trouble, or at least I think I am." He shakes his head and goes over to grab a beer. He sits next to me and takes a long swig. His eyes are still trained on his family.
"Why'd you get married, J.D.?
"The baby's mine."
"No reason to get married. Are you regretting it?"
"No, I like Jenna and want the baby to have a family." Harrison finishes his beer and goes to get another. He brings one back for me, and this time sits opposite me.
"What's going on?"
I shrug. "Like I said, I'm fucked."
"How so?"
I lean back and rub my hands over my face. Chelsea's pregnant, and she's going to pin it on me. Everyone's going to believe her because we have a history. Harrison looks back at his family. He waves and smiles. He has what I'm trying to give Jenna, but I'm already failing miserably. Let's go for a walk. I take off my shoes and socks and follow Harrison out onto the sand. It only takes a few moments for the kids to come running up to me. They're wet and sandy, but I don't care. The short time I spent with the twins was enough to earn me the title of uncle, even if I was using them to pick up the birds by the pool. After saying hello, they run back to Caitlin, their laughter echoing along the beach. Anyone who walks past will know that this is a happy house, a house full of love. That's what I want to give Jenna. I know I'm not going to even get close to what Harrison has, because he and I aren't cut from anywhere near the same cloth. Harrison and I walk down the beach. The last time I was here, we went surfing, but that's the last thing I want to do today. Today, I'm hoping he actually takes me out into the waves and drowns my pathetic self for fucking up the lives of everyone around me. So, you're married to a woman you hardly know who is pregnant, and your ex-fiancé is also pregnant. I know Jenna very well, I rebut. Oh, yeah? What's her favorite song? I roll my eyes and kick the sand in front of me. Did you tell Chelsea that you were getting married? No, I didn't know I was until I found out Jenna was pregnant and how many months she was. I whisked her to Bora Bora, proposed, got married, and we had a honeymoon. It was great, perfect, actually, until I went back to being a complete numpty and came back. Now all I can think about is how happy I am that I didn't bring her with me to L.A. When did you and Chelsea get back together? I shake my head. We haven't. We shagged before I went back to Beaumont, but since I had that night with Jenna at Liam's wedding, I've been thinking about Jenna non-stop. When I was with Chelsea, everything seemed fake and forced. I wasn't into it. I pushed her off me.
Damn, man, that's harsh.
Harrison laughs. I push him, but realize that he's right. What I did was harsh. Apparently, that hasn't put her off, though, as she's in my flat, making herself at home. I think the baby might be my dad's.
Say what?
Harrison chokes on his beer. I saw them kissing and shit. I dunno, mate. Would my dad do something like that? Harrison shakes his head.
I want to say no, but Chelsea might. I dunno, man. The whole thing seems fucked up.
What am I going to do? We stop walking and stare out into the sea.
The way I see it, you can tell Jenna about Chelsea. She'll understand. She's a good person, and if I know her, she'll tell you to go and be with Chelsea.
I don't want to be with Chelsea.
What do you want, J.D.?
My wife.
Then why the fuck are you standing on my beach? Go back to Beaumont and get her. We have a month before we leave on tour. Go spend time with her. Cherish her. Fuck like rabbits if you have to, but just go to her.
When did you turn into a smartass?
Harrison laughs.
When I started plugging into Caitlin.
Chapter 20 Jenna. I told him what today is, what it meant to me. I thought, as my husband and the father of my child, he'd be here, but he's not. Sitting by myself in a doctor's office full of expectant women would be much easier if I was alone and single. I am. Alone, that is. In every sense of the word. Except they all look at me briefly before turning away. It's the pity party that I've wanted to avoid. They look at the ring on my finger, then to the empty chairs on either side of me and shake their heads. Their husbands sit there without a care in the world, reading the most recent edition of Sports Illustrated. Their job is done. They fertilized the egg and make their mandatory monthly appearance just to keep their wives happy. I want my husband to do the same thing. Or at least tell me he's not going to be one of those dads that takes time out of their day to attend doctor's appointments, and that I shouldn't have any wild expectations about what our marriage really is. A sham. A cover. A publicity stunt.
I'm sure he is trying to avoid having his name spread all over the tabloids, saying that he knocked up some random chick and didn't do the right thing. It's probably bad for his image and will mean the hookups will be